This episode is brought to you by Honda. When you test drive the new Prologue EV, there's a lot that could impress you about it. There's the class-leading passenger space, the clean, thoughtful design, and the intuitive technology. But out of everything, what you'll really love most is that it's a Honda. Visit Honda.com/EV to see offers.
Deion Sanders, he's unhappy with a Denver Post reporter. He's banning the media. He's calling it fake news, Ian Fitzsimmons. If you say something Deion doesn't like, he'll just make sure he's not going to answer any of your questions. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career you'll love with flexibility, great pay and benefits, and one of the country's top workplaces? Come join our growing team. Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. You can find him at Ian Fitz ESPN. You can find me as well at Amber W Sports. So Sean Keeler, who works for the Denver Post, he's a Denver Post columnist, he is now unable to ask questions of Deion Sanders or of University of Colorado football players. He's still able to attend, right, press conferences?
Correct.
Theoretically speaking, he's just not able to participate or do his job otherwise.
Go to games, yes, cover every aspect of it. He is just not allowed to pose a question to Deion or any member of the Colorado Buffalo football team.
And I did hear somebody on our airwaves today. I'm trying to remember who it was. Give me a moment. It'll come to me. But I heard somebody on our airwaves on the TV side today on ESPN. They were talking about how they don't have a problem with this because why would I help you do your job if you're being unkind to me? If it's personal attacks, if I receive it as personal attacks, then why am I going to help you? Why am I going to give you the goods? Why am I going to answer your questions? And I would argue that that's not really the way that this relationship works between a head coach and the media. And we're not accustomed to seeing this with head coaches in particular. We are accustomed to seeing this with NFL players, right? Players, collegiate players, players sometimes get in their feels about what's written about them. But we don't ever see this with head coaches, Ian. So this is Deion the player making an appearance.
Terrence Newman did this for the Dallas Cowboys. Deion Sanders did this with the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Dallas Cowboys, if you are a star, their PR department, led by Rich Dalrymple back in the day, who's no longer there, would enable certain players to avoid talking to the media. Keyword, players. Coaches had to talk to the media. And the job of a columnist is to get a reaction, whether it's to make you laugh, make you cry, make you angry, make you sad. Some form of an emotional reaction. That is the job.
A columnist is opinion-based.
Absolutely.
A columnist goes beyond reporter. Reporter is fact-based. Reporter is, we're just regurgitating essentially what we know, what we're being told, what we can verify. Columnist is more like what you and I do for a living,
100%.
But without the audio element.
That is your job. And Sean Keeler, Denver Post columnist, I have never heard the man's name before in my life until a day and a half ago. Deion Sanders and the Colorado Sports Information Department did this man the greatest favor and the greatest gift that any columnist could ever have. And that is making it public. You are not allowed to ask our head coach any question. You are not allowed to ask any of our players any question. You are permitted to have a credential and come to our practice, come to our games, but you cannot pose any question to any coach, any player, or anyone affiliated with the Colorado Buffalo football team. Sean Keeler should have bathed himself in whatever is the finest lager that is brewed in Denver, Colorado, because it was the greatest gift any columnist has ever been given. I worked with Randy Galloway, who's a Texas Sports Hall of Famer, longtime columnist for the Dallas Morning News, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Baseball Hall of Fame voter, you name it. Jimmy Johnson called into Randy Galloway's show. That was the show that Jimmy had to, quote, put it in 3-inch headlines, we are beating San Francisco in the NFC Championship game. That was the power of Randy Galloway. Randy, when I was doing the show with him, would refer to Texas Rangers general manager John Daniels as John Boy, meaning like from the Waltons, because he was so young, and this young college grad from Cornell. Before John Daniels, it was the empty golf shirt. He never referred to Terrell Owens by his name. Not even T.O. It was El Dorado. Why? That was his given name. Is that a personal attack? You can don it that way. You can come across it that way. Calling a guy John Boy. Is that a personal attack?
It's not personal, but it's not really personal. Well, is it personal if you don't know them personally?
Well, that's what Sean Keeler, right? That's what Dion in Colorado were saying about Sean Keeler.
Right.
It was personal attacks. Guess what, folks? That's what columnists do to engage and get a reaction. And all Colorado did and all Dion did, in my opinion, Amber, is give Sean Keeler the greatest gift that any columnist could want. And I think Dion came across as a player, not a coach. Because a coach, you're trying to teach players, your players, your 18, 19, 20-year-olds. You don't run from adversity or criticism. Run toward it. Face it. Instead, Dion is trying to block it. And that, to me, is him. That's the player Dion and not the coach Dion. A coach has a whole different job, in my opinion.
And I hate it from either one of them, frankly. As a coach, I find it unbecoming and unprofessional. And as a player, I find it ridiculous when you're one of the greatest players to have ever played the game and you get your flowers at every turn. Nobody disrespects Deion Sanders at the end of the day. So the fact that you can't take any semblance of negativity seems certifiably insane to me. And it's one of the reasons that I have a low tolerance for this sort of stuff with a lot of these athletes that go on this tangent about the media or end up holding grudges because somebody says something negative. I don't understand how you come from that world and you're that great and your entire life, you're a cut above everybody else. You're the top 1% of the 1% in terms of athleticism, in terms of what you're able to do for a living, in terms of, frankly, how much money you make. All of it is superior to the huge overwhelming majority of everybody else that you come into contact with. And yet it's those people that end up incredibly sensitive. And I always find that to be strange, really, to put it lightly, right? Because it's not like Deion Sanders has walked around his whole life not being praised and not being beloved, because he has been those things throughout his career. Now, I'm sure he's also been criticized as well. And there's been a lot of constructive criticism. And there's been a lot of people throughout his life that are hard on him and trying to get the best out of him. You experience all of that if you're an athlete. But if you're an elite athlete, you get your roses way more than most of us ever do throughout our entire lives. And Deion Sanders has gotten more praise than any of the rest of us. Anybody, you and I and anybody listening to our voices right now. That's just the reality of the situation. You're Deion Bleeping Sanders. So the fact that you can't take a little criticism seems crazy to me. And on top of that, the fact that, yes, of course, you're a leader of young men and you're trying to set the example. And it is of the utmost importance in this next generation and this generation that he is helping mold as a head coach of the University of Colorado Buffaloes. It's of the utmost importance for those young men to be able to tune out the negativity, because those young men are growing up with tons of negativity on social media and negativity being hurled their way in a way that Deion Sanders never experienced at any point in his career before now. So him setting the example that I can't take a little criticism from a columnist whose job it is, by the way, to have an opinion and write colorfully, because that's what sells columns, is not a good standard for anybody. It's not a good look for him as a player, as a coach, or as a leader of young men.
Well, here's Dion doubling down on it, and he did it again. Colorado head coach on the Out of Pocket podcast with RG3. Here he is talking about somebody who works for us. Here we go.
How can we be irrelevant and you talking about me?
Yeah.
Like, every time I turn around, somebody's sending me a quote that you're talking about.
Mm.
So I know what he's doing, and I'm proud of him, that he's smart enough to understand that this generation and this thought process and the way we communicate on sports is different, and he's a dying breed. So what does he have to do to stay and keep up with this change? Oh, I got to go find that big bad wolf and talk about it. So now I keep my relevancy. And I'm saying, cool, but I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to add to you. I'm not going to respond. Because that's what you want. Yeah, you just want me to respond. Mm-mm. I don't do that. I'm not going to help you come up.
I mean, you did just respond.
The question was about Paul Feinbaum. Yeah, you did respond.
That whole thing was a response.
And Paul Feinbaum was a columnist for the Birmingham Post-Herald back in the day. So you just did for Paul Feinbaum what you did also for Sean Keeler. You gave them the reaction, and now Feinbaum has that reaction to catapult off of. Dude, you're not a player. You're a coach. Set an example for your young players who are going, to your point, face more criticism because everyone has it in that thing in their pocket called a phone to be a critic.
And that sound was from Out of Pocket with RG3, RG3's podcast. Is he still out here doing? So we should give him his flowers. But the reality is,
I said it.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah. You referenced the podcast itself. Yeah. I just saw him post about it. So the thing is, also, Paul Feinbaum is just out here talking about what people are asking him to talk about, which is his job, right? So he's just having an opinion about what Deion Sanders is doing as the head coach of Colorado, because that is in fact Paul Feinbaum's job, kind of like it's our job to have opinions about these things and to talk about them and to attempt to entertain. And is that a personal attack if you don't agree with something Deion Sanders is doing, or you don't think he's doing a good, is that personal?
Well, what's the difference of calling a guy a dying breed versus, you know, any nickname that's been given to you?
Right.
Again, Deion, man, you're smarter than this. You are. All you did was give Sean Keeler a grander platform, and all he's done by saying, I'm not going to respond to it. You did respond by calling another guy a dying breed, man. Just go win games, because guess what? If you get beat by North Dakota State on Thursday, partner, you think this is rough? Get ready.
Right. Well, and also, is it Paul Feinbaum isn't allowed to criticize? Like, he only criticizes Deion or has an opinion about anything Deion's doing to stay relevant? Or is that just actually Paul Feinbaum's job? Because I feel like that's actually just Paul Feinbaum's job. It's just to talk about college football on ESPN. That's kind of his thing. All right, coming up next here on ESPN Radio. Are the Jets really the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC? Oh, is Greeny at it again? That's next on ESPN Radio.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
Yo, hockey's here and it's colder than ice, like cold. But with BetMGM, I can heat the game up with overs, unders, parlays, and moneylines, all from the comfort of my 102-degree hot tub. Now I'm really putting fire on the ice. This hockey season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget to hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. At Ian Fitz, ESPN is how you find him. You can find me at Amber W Sports. Amber and Ian is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. So Greeny was at it again. Mike Greenberg, host of a show called Get Up, a nice little show on ESPN.
Heard of it.
yeah, I'm glad Greeny's getting those chances, you know? And he's got a show on ESPN called Get Up. And he, of course, was in a conversation about who is the biggest threat to the Chiefs being able to three-peat. I don't think his answer is going to be that shocking to you. Take a listen.
I'm trying to do this as an analyst. Change my mind. If Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, the Jets are absolutely the biggest threat to Patrick Mahomes' three-peat in the conference. They have the best defense of anybody with the possible exception of Cleveland, and they have the most proven quarterback. He's Aaron Rodgers, for crying out loud. We talk about him like there's a – we talk about the Jets, Jeff, like there's a question mark at the quarterback position.
There is. We haven't seen the man play in 2 years, and he's north of 40 coming off an Achilles. So there is a question about your quarterback. Yes.
Yeah, there's a question at the quarterback position. The question is, can he still play at an elite level? Because, by the way, we have not seen an elite level from Aaron Rodgers in 3 years. Can he still play at an elite level? Hey. And then also, can he stay healthy? Can he be healthy?
Amber, to your point, even the last 2 years in Green Bay, he got beaten on his own field.
Right. Certainly last year.
The last game in Green Bay to make the playoffs and was eliminated by a division rival.
Mm-hmm.
So, named the Detroit Lions, which catapulted them to a great playoff run last year that damn near saw them going to the Super Bowl. So, it's not like it was just last year with the
right.
Achilles. To your point, we haven't seen great quarterback play from him in 2+ years,
mm-hmm.
going back to his last season in Green Bay where he was a good quarterback.
Right, not a great one, not an elite one. I understand he won back-to-back MVPs
now,
just before that, but that was now years ago.
But that
plural.
Jets defense, they're a top-five unit.
Well, there's not a question there. But what's funny is Greeny said –
My point is,
we don't have a question at quarterback. And that's what's funny is because,
that
that's actually where you do have it's the other side of the ball that doesn't have any questions.
Right. And that's the aspect of Aaron Rodgers. All he has to do, if he plays the way he did as a good quarterback in Green Bay, this Jets squad's got a shot.
But they're still not the biggest threat to the Chiefs, are they?
No. I would go Baltimore, even with Lamar Jackson's horrendous playoff history.
It's fine. Aaron Rodgers isn't out here winning Super Bowls every season either. So
right, but
let's not act like Aaron Rodgers' playoff history is. I understand he got one. It was a long time ago.
I get it, but Dak. We all blistered Dak, right? And the Cowboys for their playoff history. Hey, you win double digit wins. In the regular season, nonstop. But you really don't survive in advance of the postseason. Same is said for Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. But that is a great defense with a hell of a running game, a fantastic O-line, weapons on the outside. You're looking at a threat to Kansas City. I wouldn't even go the Jets. I mean, I would go two teams out of the AFC North, and that's Baltimore and Cincinnati. Because, look, I don't give a bleep how great or horrendous the Cincinnati offensive line is. We have seen Joe Burrow will that team being sacked more than any other quarterback in a season in the NFL, get to a Super Bowl, beat Mahomes in the AFC Championship, and be one play away from possibly winning a Lombardi. So if you're talking about the biggest threat to 15 and the Chiefs, I'll give you two teams out of the same division. I'll take over the Jets, and that's Baltimore and Cincy.
Yeah, I would have Baltimore and Cincy on that list, I think, ahead of New York as well. I'd have Buffalo on that list ahead of New York. I mean, there's certainly other
threats.
They
lost, even though with Matt Milano being out, right, which is we don't talk enough about that. That is a big loss for Baltimore. Their signal caller with that torn bicep at linebacker, he's done, along with 42% of the snaps off that Buffalo defense are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that concerns me a bit. I'm not worried about wide receiver. Josh Allen, to me, is such a phenomenal talent, and I'm a big fan of Keon Coleman. And Dalton Kincaid, who's scheduled to join us, by the way, coming up on Thursday. The star tight end for the Buffalo Bills will be right here on ESPN Radio. Look, I'm not worried about the offense. My bigger concern in Buffalo, Amber, is the defense.
Yeah. There's question marks, but there's question marks with the Jets as well. I mean, there's question marks with any of these teams because, obviously, if we're talking about actually threatening the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, there's nobody that you feel confident is going to threaten the Kansas City Chiefs in particular. But the teams that would be in a position to do so, I mean, in that division, you could argue that there might be two teams more likely to do so than the New York Jets. Just in the Jets' own division, you could make that argument.
And now, I'm being a bit of a homer there, but you know where I'm going with that. It took a minute. Here we go.
Reality of the situation, though, right? I mean, why couldn't Miami be part of that conversation if you're going to throw New York into that conversation? Why is that Jets team so superior to that Miami Dolphins team?
Or to that
Buffalo Bills team? I just don't see it. So I'm not suggesting that it's not possible, and I'm not suggesting that Aaron Rodgers can't have a decent season. But I think to say that the Jets don't have questions, if Aaron is healthy, that there's no questions that that team is going to be the cream of the crop in the AFC, that seems like wildly overstating it to me.
Look, I don't disagree with you on that part. But if we're going back to the original question from Greeny, the Green Homer, when it comes to the Jets, and that is, who's the biggest threat to the Chiefs? To me, it is not the Jets. It is Baltimore, if Lamar at some point can get over that playoff hump. And it's Joe Burrow, a healthy Joe Burrow with Ja'Marr Chase back in practice, right? Those are my top two.
And then that one feels like a given because we've seen it before.
Yeah, and then in division, I'd go Baltimore and then your fish.
Buffalo, obviously part of that conversation. I mean, there could be other teams like the Texans. Could they be part of that conversation as well? There's other teams that theoretically have the pieces and could be part of the conversation. I don't know. James is just over here just shaking his head no the whole time. James.
What?
Which, by the way, I did think that the sound after that sound that we just played from Greeny, the response from Jeff Darlington, I don't know if you guys heard that.
Yeah,
hit it again.
We should have queued that up. Well, I don't think we have it. We should have gotten that. The response from Jeff Darlington, he like loses his mind over Greeny saying this. And he says, can you Jets fans just stop? Like, we'll believe
Amen,
it when
Jeff.
We see it.
Amen.
You know? Like, we had to do this whole song and dance last season where everybody wanted to crown them as Super Bowl champs. How about we see them do it first? For a team, by the way.
Defense, yes. We get it, right? Everything else, we got to see it.
The last time, I don't have it in front of me. I think the last time the Jets won a playoff game was the year that Aaron Rodgers won the Super Bowl, right? That's remarkable. That's how long ago it was. Now they're relying on that guy to do it again. Coming up next, we're going to find out what's a big deal and what's not a big deal here on ESPN Radio.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/ESPN pod and use code ESPNPod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNPod and use code ESPNPod at checkout.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
We're rolling along here on Amber and Ian. And at this time, we always like to find out what's a big deal and what's not a big deal. Because otherwise, how the heck would you know? Let's get to it.
It's making headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
But is it a big deal or not a big deal with Amber and Ian?
And our producer, James Steele. Hello, James.
Hi, guys. All right, so let's start with this. I've had this sent to me, this clip from Twitter sent to me. It must have been from NFL Live either earlier today or yesterday. And they're talking about Travis Kelce purchasing a horse. And so Laura is talking about it, and mm-hmm. she says, you know, he bought a horse, but it's not an engagement ring. It's a horse. And then this is kind of what happens here. Let's hear it.
Hey, Travis Kelce made a big purchase recently. No, not an engagement ring, but it was Swift adjacent. Okay, the Chiefs tight end purchasing a racehorse named, wait for it, Swift Delivery. I like it. You got anything?
How do you know that he didn't? How do you know that Travis Kelce didn't buy an engagement ring?
I don't know. Do you know? Are you going to break some big news here?
I'm just saying you said that he didn't buy an engagement ring, and I'm just wondering how you had that information.
Adam, are you Swiftie?
The awkward silence right there speaks volumes. Shefty, do you know something, Shefty? America wants to know.
About to make us go viral,
Shefty.
All
I did was ask a question about how Laura knew he hadn't bought an engagement ring. That's all I was doing.
There was lots of pauses, Amber. And there was lots of looks, Amber. By the way, if you watch this thing live. There was some looks.
It was awkward.
Amber, big deal.
It was awesome.
Big
was
deal,
awesome.
Not a big deal. It felt, apparently, I mean, it
seems felt like a big
Schefter.
Deal. But also, why would Shefty know? Shefty has his inside everything. Information, and he's just sitting on it. He knows when Travis Kelce buys an engagement ring. I mean, Travis Kelce's agent's calling up Shefty and saying, hey, guess what just happened? That seems unlikely. And then Shefty would sit on that information? I mean, that would be the biggest news maybe that he's ever broken, really. I mean, that's the reality of the situation because of how famous she is, right? I mean, Adam Schefter is probably...
I would sit on that intel. I would not break that. If I knew it, hell no. That's personal. That's you're ruining a moment. I mean, a massive moment. There's no way... Even if Travis Kelce himself told me, hey, man, just bought an engagement ring I'm proposing on Tuesday, gave me all the details, there is no way in hell I'm popping that story.
Also, I don't think there's...
personal... That is between those two. I would never ruin that moment.
I also don't think there's any way in hell you would tell Adam Schefter. I got to be honest. If you didn't want the news broken, right? I mean, that seems.
It depends on.
I'm not
Schefter, but I've sat on a few big ones before, and yeah, I mean, yeah, it depends on how personal it is, you know, and that's as personal as it gets. But that to me was a comedic exchange with very awkward moments between Adam. You know, Schefter, Laura Rutledge, and
the
rest
of the crew. He was given a lot of looks.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe he does know. And you know what? I would not say it if I did know.
As much news as Adam Schefter has broken in his career here at ESPN, a legendary career from Adam Schefter, has he ever broken news bigger than that? Has he ever broken news about somebody more famous than Taylor Swift? I don't think there's probably any news he's ever broken that would be as big, because I don't think that any of these people we talk about in sports are as famous as her, probably, right?
No chance. I mean, she's the most famous person in the world, right?
Right. I think she is. So, I mean, is she? I don't know. I think she is, right? Is she more famous than, like, Cristiano Ronaldo? Is she more famous than these soccer players?
James, I know you have other questions here, if a big deal, not a big deal, but quickly around the horn. Would you break the story if you knew that someone as famous as that had a ring and was going to propose? Would you ruin that moment? Yes or no? Go.
Who am I in this scenario? Am I Amber Wilson or am I Adam Schefter? Because Adam Schefter could sit on that news. Amber Wilson would make her career from breaking that news. So who am I?
You're Amber Wilson. I wouldn't do it.
All right. Well, then maybe.
James?
Be like, yeah, really absolutely. Beneficial.
Why wouldn't I? I would be super famous then, right?
It would make James's entire career. Like, yeah, you can't ask somebody like James that.
I wouldn't have to do anything ever again.
Well, that's not true.
You'd be breaking news on one massive story makes a career. Guess what, folks? It doesn't. But go ahead.
I'd always be known as the guy who broke the Taylor Swift.
Yeah, you would be a trivia question. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Trivia pursuit, you dominate.
I'm not saying this is the answer to how Adam Schefter would know this, but there is like an event here tomorrow where Adam Schefter and Jason Kelce are doing a thing together.
Oh, look at that.
I'm not saying that's the answer to that question.
Right. I don't think Jason Kelce would
if we
want to
speculate there. I'm just saying.
I feel like a newsbreaker is the last person you would tell. But never know. I also think, I guess, Ian, I was also am approaching it from the perspective of like, who doesn't know that they're going to be proposed to in 2024. Like, who hasn't had these conversations with their significant other? It's not really, like, you don't know how it's going to happen or when it's going to happen, necessarily.
Did you see the guy who had nachos dumped on his face, right, when he proposed at a stadium?
Those setup bull bleep things are so annoying to me.
That's just fun for the Jumbotron.
So stupid now.
It really is.
They're so set up. All right, James, you got something else?
Yeah, I mean, since we're talking about the Kelsey's, have found a publisher for their New Heights podcast. Amazon's Wondery will take over and the distribution rights for the weekly show as a part of a $100 million agreement that was announced on Tuesday.
Are we going all Chiefs here on Big Deal, not a big deal?
Apparently.
I can't listen. This James is the thing is that we talked about.
This is not a big deal.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. These are two. We just talked about the first one for like 5 minutes. It was a good topic. Was it not a good topic? And this is something we've been talking about all day.
This one, not so much.
Come on. This is a big topic, too.
I think this is a big deal, though. It's $100 million. And it's $100 million for something that's a lot easier than playing football.
Yeah, it's big money. Big deal? No, not to me. I enjoy it.
I think it's a big deal. I also think it's a big deal that people are paying all this monster money for these podcasts. Like $100 million to the Kelsey's, $125 million to the Call Her Daddy Girl. All these podcast numbers that are being thrown out here. The Call Her Daddy Girl. I don't know.
The Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver, Ja'Marr Chase.
James is like, we're moving on from a Call Her Daddy Girl.
To play in the team season opener, Coach Zach Taylor said Tuesday. After missing all of training camp, Chase participated in the team's two light practices this week and will continue to be involved as the team ramps up for its first game on September 8th against the New England Patriots. Amber, a big deal. Ja'Marr Chase going to play in week one.
Yeah, obviously that's a big deal. They need their guy out there. He was a hold-in, right? He wasn't a hold-out, but he wasn't practicing. And he has years left on his deal. This one's, I think, more complicated than people realize because he has 2 years left on his deal. He's in the fourth year of a rookie deal. They can pick up the fifth year option, and then he would be under team control after that also if they wanted to franchise tag him. So at least he's showing up and he's playing. And of course, that's going to be pivotal to the success of the Cincinnati Bengals. Ultimately, I think they get something done with Ja'Marr Chase, but I could also see the trepidation right now negotiating with him and trying to rush it before the season starts when he's got years left.
Amber, bigger deal, Ja'Marr Chase practicing for back-to-back days in pads with the Bengals or what the Kelsey's are making on a podcast?
The Kelsey's making on a podcast, bigger deal than me because I happen to be in the audio space. So all these people that continue to set the bar at $100 million plus. It's like,
damn, that backfired on me.
When does Amber and Ian get a call from Spotify or Amazon or any of these other distributors? Sorry, ESPN. Although what ESPN's paying back,
that really backfired on me, James. In your favor, there you go.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any jobs on that $100 million podcast. Rivals Hoops.
We're all just thinking how this personally kind of fits us.
Rivals Hoops announced.
I love Mickey Mouse. Go ahead.
Rivals Hoops announced their class of 2027 rankings. It was a list of the top 60, and this wouldn't have hit my radar at all, except for whenever they tweeted the top 10. A familiar name was on it, Marcus Spears Jr., number 9 on the Rivals class of 2027 hoops rankings.
Come Ian, on, big deal, fella.
Ian, big deal, not a big deal. Marcus Spears Jr., number 9 on the top 10 rankings.
In our family? Hell yeah, it's a big deal. Cool. And people don't remember Marcus Spears and me being a boot boy. And for those of you who don't know what a boot boy is, that's anybody from the state of Louisiana. If you're a boot girl, boot boy, you are pride of Louisiana. Marcus Spears at LSU, he did not start his career as a D end. You know what he was? He was a tight end. Dude was catching passes, man. Svelte. Lean. Running the route tree. Yeah, so, hey, that Spears family, athletic. So, hey, not just a big deal, massive deal for our fam. Hell yeah. Way to go,
Boo. Yeah, it's a big deal, obviously. It's a big deal. I think it's a cool deal that he's not playing the same sport as his dad. I feel like that probably relieves a lot of pressure. But your dad's still able to share in with you all those moments and still bring, obviously, the former professional athlete perspective to things, help you navigate that. But you don't have to live up to the bar that he set. So I think that's a really cool deal. And obviously, the kid's a stud.
All right, I got one more, and you guys are just going to yell at me about it, and I'm going to do it anyway.
Kansas City, come
on.
Carson
August,
Steele?
No.
Is it Carson Steele?
No. No, that's okay. Pretty cool, though. We talked about that, though. On August 24th, Linkin Park, who's a heavy metal band, tweeted out a 100-hour countdown.
Are they heavy metal or just metal?
I don't think of Linkin Park as heavy metal.
I'm not going heavy metal. Like, Pantera is heavy metal.
Yeah, it is. It's a pretty heavy
band. You think Linkin Park is?
Yeah.
I don't think of them as heavy metal.
I don't know what they are.
Linkin Park is not
heavy
metal.
Anyway, they tweeted a 100-hour countdown, and which is set to end on Wednesday at like 8 a.m. And the speculation is that they're announcing that they're gonna announce a tour with a new singer because their singer died a couple of years ago. So is this a big deal or not a big deal?
Linkin Park is categorized, according to Google, as alternative rock.
That's not alternative.
Yeah, I just screamed into the hallway to my wife, who is a metalhead also, like James. I mean, she's been on Pantera's bus. There you go. I don't want to know what happened. She was like, Linkin Park, heavy metal? No.
New metal. No.
It does say Linkin Park's earlier music spanned a fusion of heavy metal and hip hop with music features more electronica and pop elements.
But we have someone passing, on. You said? That's a big deal.
Their singer died a few years ago. They've been dormant since
they're
then.
They're just touring, and so this is not a big deal.
It's a big deal they're back.
They tweeted a 100-hour countdown, which ends like tomorrow at 8 a.m.
Not a big deal. The 90s called. They want their music back.
Speculating it's a new singer and a tour. Big deal or not a big deal?
Big deal, yes, but not heavy.
See, I knew I shouldn't have done this one.
I care not at all about Linkin Park. Mistake. Well, I mean, you don't even know what genre they are, so I also don't know if you're... Well,
I was right. You said it's in there. It says metal.
Well, it said it has fusion elements of heavy metal. Linkin Park. When was there... Like, what are even the big hits from Linkin Park? I could not even tell you. When I Google Linkin Park, the park in actual Chicago comes up, and not even the band. So there you go.
Well, that's where they're from.
Well, then you spelled it wrong.
Oh, did I spell it wrong? Is that what's happening here?
Yes.
Well, because I know. Yeah, no, 90s. I was right. Yeah, in the 90s called and wants its music back. But there was a lot of it in the 2000s as well, I guess. I don't know any of these songs. I don't remember any of them. In the End, Numb, New Divide, Somewhere I Belong, if you say so.
Those are all great.
Yeah, coming up next. Starting to feel like I don't belong here. But we're going to roll along here on ESPN Radio. Super Bowl. Or $100 million. That's next.
Oh, I got my answer.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
In the world of football, one name stands above the rest. Nick Saban, a legend known for building dynasties on the gridiron. And in the world of interior paint, Bear Dynasty is a legend in its own right. It's the best of Bear, with everything you want in a paint, all in one can. And it's available exclusively at the Home Depot. Just like Nick Saban's powerhouse defense, Bear Dynasty defends your walls with unmatched stain repellency and scuff resistance. And with one coat coverage, you'll be able to complete your painting project and bask in your team's colors before kickoff. Defend your walls and your game time with Bear Dynasty interior paint at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Valid only when tinted to colors from the Bear Dynasty and Marquee Interior One Coat Hide Color Collection.
And went car shopping. We got to get to that before we close out things tonight here on Amber and Ian. You can hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed at Ian Fitz ESPN. You can find me as well at Amber W Sports. Before we get to car shopping,
Lincoln
though,
Park, by the way,
thank you.
This, and this is not heavy metal. Yeah, I can understand what they're saying. There's no screaming. Lincoln Park is not heavy metal. Not great, but not heavy metal.
The disrespect that you show to my favorite genre of music is disgusting to me.
Well, I would say
even
I'm
my
sorry,
wife, who's a metalhead,
apparently I'm not.
My wife listens to everything from Sinatra to Pantera. Right? She said that Linkin Park is not heavy metal.
I think of Linkin Park as like alt rock. I definitely do not think of Linkin Park as heavy metal. It's just not my cup of
Let's
tea.
Move on
but
to
I do
her.
Recognize yeah, that yeah, Linkin yeah. Park is good in a lot of
they
people's
are good.
Books. Nevertheless, all right, where were we going with this whole Super Bowl championship or $100 million
so Cam
Jordan, career?
Yeah, Pro Bowl DN New Orleans Saints, just yes. a bad A, right? In his, what, 88th year, he's still getting it done as an edge rusher. He and Carl Granderson, who just signed a $50 million deal, his opposite edge for the New Orleans Saints, had this discussion on Cam's Off the Edge podcast. A very simple question. Would you rather have, and you can only have one, mm-hmm. a $100 million career or be a Super Bowl champion?
How much am I making as a Super Bowl champion? I mean, that makes a huge difference.
I don't have that answer.
Huge. Because
question,
if I'm
– but Grant, look,
here's
Grant,
the scale.
Granderson just signed a – as I mentioned, just signed a $50 million guaranteed contract, right?
Right.
So you can – but you can only have one.
Right.
It's a very – I'm assuming – yeah. Look, this is $100 million take-home money.
Right.
It's a very simple question. Don't overthink
it. $100 million guaranteed.
Don't overthink it.
$100 million
career or – a Super Bowl champion.
Here's
you think, James, go. What do you got?
$100 million career. I need the money. Give me the money.
Thank you. This is a no-brainer to me. This is easy. Give me the $100 million. I got to put two kids through college. I've got grandkids.
It doesn't cost that much to put two kids through college. You could do that off of $20 million very easily and very comfortably. So that's what I mean. There's a scale here, right? Because you're absolutely right. If you're Brock Purdy winning a Super Bowl this year, okay, then you got to take the $100 million. Because Brock Purdy's making, what, $1 million? He's made $1 million?
Not even. I think it's 954. Not even. Not
yeah.
even.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're
now
talking
endorsements,
less than
you know, but anyway, go ahead.
But, yeah, like, I mean, we're talking this man's made, you know, like, by the end of this rookie deal for him, it, like, he will have maybe made a couple million, if he's lucky, and I don't even think that he will have made that. And so, you have a Super Bowl, but if you're on that end of the scale, then you got to take the money. But if you're talking $100 million versus, you know, $70 million, now I think that, now we're
this
cooking.
This is a very simple question. Only a lawyer would overcomplicate.
I would take $70 million
in
a Super Bowl win over $100 million. I would take
$100 million
over $1 million.
They did not give a monetary amount on the what you made in the
question. Clearly wasn't written by an attorney. I don't know what to tell you.
You are a Super Bowl champion, or you have a $100 million career. Which one are you taking?
James,
we know which one you're going to take because you have just been talking about the money. You're taking the $100 million.
It depends how much. It genuinely depends how much money I've made, though. Like I could leave
oh,
some
my
of the
Lord,
money
have
on the
mercy.
Table. I don't need $100 million. The hell am I doing with $100 million that I can't do with $70 million?
Go
or
give
$80 million.
Give birth to the child, please. It's a very simple question.
What am I doing
question.
With $100 million that I can't do with $50 million? I mean, I feel like I'm doing things either way. Like I'm good. I'm solid.
It is either you are a Super Bowl champion or $100 million in a career. Which one are you taking?
All right, if I'm broke and a Super Bowl champion
oh,
or
my
$100
Lord.
Million, dollars, obviously I'm taking $100 million. Then it's not a conversation.
There was no monetary amount on the Super Bowl.
But it's a harder conversation if you apply a monetary amount. Because otherwise it's an easy
conversation. That was the beauty of it, meaning do you care about winning a title or is it all about the bank? It's all about the bag.
Everybody's all about the bag to an extent, though. Everybody is.
And
even
that is
these players.
You know what? Cam Cam is, you know what, 14 years in now. He's got a degree from Cal. He's brilliant. He's set. And he is a Super Bowl champion. But that's one where you look at and you go, man, to me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, I'm not even thinking about how much money I'm making as a Super Bowl champion. I hate to say it. Is it shallow as an old athlete? Yeah, it is. But you know what? Give me the $100 million career, and my great-grandkids are set for life. I'm out. Done. Not overthinking it. Give me the bag.
If you invest $20 million properly
What if it was 200 grand? What if you were on the league min of 450 as a rookie?
Well, then obviously you're taking the 100 mil because the disparity is so gross. I mean, so obviously that's not a question. I do think it's. I do think that there's a lot of guys in the league that would leave a lot of money on the table for a Super Bowl ring.
No doubt about it. And it was an interesting conversation, especially Granderson, who's younger, right? Like, he's like, hey, man, I know I got paid, but I want that ring.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it depends. I mean, again, I genuinely do. I know I'm being annoying, but I genuinely do think it depends how many dollars you have in your bank account in that evaluation. Because I do think that the way that these guys covet that ring and that Lombardi, that they would leave lots of money on the table in order to get it. But not all of the money. Not all the money. Nobody's doing that.